You can be turning over to Mark chapter 11. We're going to be looking there. Want to say hello to Brigetta. Great to have her back with us today. Tell you what, if you don't know, she is one tough cookie. Great to have you here. It's good to see you up and around. So welcome back. So we're going to look into God's character. I'm excited about what we're looking about today. And really, we're talking about God's character, trying to see God from maybe another lens. God is amazing. His character is astounding, and it's complex. God is not one-dimensional. You know, He is multifaceted. And so to understand and to see God in some new lights is moving, and I hope that we can get some of that this morning from what we read. So we're going to start Mark chapter 11, verse 1. It says here, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell them, the Lord needs it and will send it back shortly. So they went, they found the colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. That'd be kind of cool if you did that. You know, you need a car, and you walk up, and you get in somebody's car. They're like, what are you doing? The Lord said that I needed the car, so, you know. And they're like, okay, see you later. I'll send it back to you later. You know, that'd be kind of fun. Anyway, so they brought the colt to Jesus. They threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed behind shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And so you have this great big parade almost, just excitement and people having a uplifted moment. They're saying Hosanna, which is an expression of adoration and praise. They're putting down cloaks and palms, and they're just happy, and this is the day of God, and they know something's going on, and Jesus is from God, and he's done these great things, and they're basking in this moment of God entering the city, and how he enters is interesting. You know, go get this colt, this donkey, and ride in on this colt, this donkey. Okay, the king of all kings. How does he arrive on the scene? You know, what a lot of kings of the world would do when they entered in, they'd come in on a big, powerful horse. They maybe would have a parade of warriors in front of them and behind them. And people would watch this maybe a little bit in awe and fear. Of a worldly king coming in that's like, whoa, look at this guy. He's really something. And, you know, he's a little bit distant and kind of a little aloof. And he's like up in this powerful guy that you really don't know if you want to get too close to or offend because he's got a lot of people with swords around him. And so, you know, you're taken back a little, but that's not how Jesus came into town. That's not the atmosphere of Jesus entering. Jesus enters in humility. Jesus enters vulnerable, approachable. I want to be close. I don't want there to be barriers. I don't need a bunch of soldiers. I'm coming because I want to be with people. I want to be close. I want to be accessible. Yeah. And Jesus arrives in humility. Jesus arrives approachable, which is an amazing thing. You know, if you wanted to go see President Trump, you know, could you just walk up and, you know, see him? I mean, you got to have an appointment. You got to go through metal detectors. I mean, you got to do a lot of things to get to him. And he's not the King of Kings. He may think he is, but he's not the King of Kings. But the King of Kings... He doesn't want barriers. It's like, no, you come.
Right.
Easy access.
Yep.
That's who he is. Mm-hmm. That's who Jesus is. That's what his character is. pretty amazing. But you know what's also amazing is what happens next. In verse 11, it says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and he went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was late, he went out to Bethany and with the 12 and he spent the night. He's like, okay, well, what's that all about? We'll go down to verse 15. He comes back to Jerusalem after he spent the night out in Bethany. He entered the temple again, and then he began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He was overturning tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he wouldn't let anybody carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. So he comes into town, approachable and humble, and everybody's all fired up. And the next day, he's in the temple, and he's flipping tables over, and there's money scattering all over the place. And single-handedly, he's telling everybody to stop doing what they're doing. Guys going through, and they're bunching up, saying, hey, stop that, put that down. They're like, what? I mean, they're listening to Jesus. I mean, he's speaking with authority. This guy's he's on a mission. Yeah. He's shutting down business. That's a little bit different facet of Jesus' character. Yeah. Just yesterday, he came to town on a colt, and everybody's having a good time and singing songs and saying Hosanna and putting their cloaks on. It's like, woo, party! And the next day they're like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? He's knocking over stuff and he's lost his mind. This guy's, he's scary. Yeah. Interesting. You know, God's character should stir something in us. In a good way. But God's character is complex. God's not one-dimensional. And we got to be able to see Him and understand God as best we can and all the facets that God is. Yeah. Go to the next slide. So He comes in this way and people are happy, you know, like we're talking about. Go to the next one. But the next day He's doing this and people don't even know what to make of it. Go to the next slide. You know, there are opposite traits that make up who God is that should stir and move and energize us. God is humble, and we love that because we can approach Him and feel like we can access God. But He's mighty. And we love that too because sometimes we need someone mighty to defend us. God is just, and we like that. When somebody wrongs you, what do you want? You want justice. How many TV shows are there? You know, we've been watching Blue Bloods, and I don't know how many times that phrase gets used. You know, someone did somebody wrong, and they're like, "I just want justice." You know that, and in us, we have that, don't we? Yep. If we're wronged, we want someone. We want it to be made right. We don't want somebody getting off the hook.
Right.
But then, when we're the one that did wrong.
Yeah.
And God's justice is hanging over our head, then we are fired up that God is merciful.
Yeah.
Right? But we're also fired up that He's just. Two sides. And we're happy for both. And it takes some work to kind of understand and embrace the complexity of the character of God, but if we can embrace it, it should stir us, it should move us, it should do something for us that knowing God better amplifies our connection with God.
Right.
Look at this next verse here in Revelation. One of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah." We just sang that song. And in that song, Lion of Judah, what we're singing, how powerful you are, right? A lion is powerful. A lion is mighty. The root of David has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. In these verses, we see Jesus described as a lion and a lamb. Are we happy that God is complex in both lion and lamb? You know, if you are in the middle of a trial, if you feel like Satan's coming after you and you need someone to defend you, you need someone to scare off the enemy, do you want a little lamb stepping into the picture and going, bah? Or do you want a lion showing up to scare off the enemy? You want a lion. I want a lion to defend me, not a lamb. No, nothing against a lamb, but I want a lion. If I get to choose, send the lion. I need a defender. I need somebody to come to my cause that I know is going to scare the enemy. He's going to run. And I'm glad that Jesus is a lion. But then there's the other days. I don't need defended. I need comforted.
Yep.
I need to be able to come to God because I'm hurting. Yep. I need to be able to come to God because I failed. I need to be able to come to God because I'm trying to do the right thing and I did the wrong thing instead. And I fell flat on my face spiritually and I'm feeling guilt and shame. Then I want a lamb. Then I'm glad that God is a lamb and not a lion. That I feel like I can approach. That I'm not scared to approach. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't seen any lions in a petting zoo. I don't know about you. You know, petting, it's like a Far Side comic. You could just picture, you know, petting zoo, there's a lion there. And, you know, lasted one day. You know, you might see a lamb, though, in a petting zoo. You know, soft and cuddly and can't bite your arm off, and you know. Jesus is a lion and a lamb. Go to the next slide. Isn't it a good thing he's both?
Yep.
Aren't we glad he's both? I mean, isn't it important that he's both? Mm-hmm. On the days when you need that protector, aren't you so fired up that you can picture that Jesus is a lion and you can just envision him hitting the scene and roaring and Satan just running?
Yep.
And then can you picture the days where, man, I need some access to God and I feel unworthy as unworthy can be. And I'm glad that I can picture Jesus as a lamb that I can approach and not be afraid of. It's an amazing, God's character is amazing. It should energize and stir us because of all the facets God is to meet all the needs we have. God's amazing, astounding, incredible. I'm blown away. You know, I'm thinking about this all week. You know, I'm praying. I'm like, you know, you're my lion, you're my protector, and I think, and you're my lamb, you're my accessible, you're my close, you're my God that I can come to and not be afraid. And I'm so fired up. You're both,
yeah.
And I hope that today that you can get a glimpse of that and be encouraged and fired up that's who God wants to be for all of us. Both lion and lamb, protector and sacrifice, mighty and accessible, humble and powerful, just and merciful. Thank you, God. Thank you that's who you are. And let us just continue to learn more and more about the character of God and be moved by it. Amen. I'm going to show you a little video. Some of you will remember this. Some of you won't, but it's kind of, it's like 15 seconds long. It's a commercial. I'll take a poll and see who remembered this from when it was live. You have to start it back over and have the volume there.
How do you decide between crunchy and soft tacos? Porque no los
dos.
Who remembers that? Anybody remember this? It's like that little girl's so cute. You know, go to the next slide whenever you can. So, you know, the point there is, why not both? That's number, the second point today is, why not both?
Yeah.
Keep going. We'll stop there for a minute. You know, if you were going to ask, if we're going to interview God, say, hey, God, what do you desire of me? Do you want me to have godly actions, or do you want me to have the right heart? What would he say? Hey, why not both? You know, that little girl, she had it figured out. Go to the next slide. You know, so why not both? What we want to shoot for is we want to have godly actions in our life. And we want to have our heart in the right place.
Yeah.
We want both. Yep. Okay? And that's the next thing we're going to pull out of the story we just read out of Matthew 11. You know, if we go back to Matthew 11, what's going on in the temple? You know, you got these money changers. You know, what's the deal? Why was Jesus so riled up? In verse 15, go to the next slide. You know, you got the money changers, they're in the temple court. In a sense, they're at church. So they got some religious activity. They're going to God's house like we all did this morning. What are they doing there? They're doing religious actions.
Yeah.
You know, that on the one level, you could say, well, they're providing a service to God's people so they can worship God. And they are doing that. But what's their heart in it? Okay? Their actions aren't necessarily off base, but their heart is way off base.
Yep.
What was Jesus' beef? His beef was, this was supposed to be all about prayer, connecting with God, for all nations to come here and meet with God, to come here and commune with God, to come here and have a connection with God. And what you guys are doing, all these tables he's turning over, you're here to turn a profit. You don't even care about God. And so Jesus had a problem with that. That's why he's turning over tables. That's why he's making them stop what they're doing. Because he wanted to get them to just stop. Stop all the activity and think about what you're doing here. So what do we take from that? Should we take away from that we should stop all religious activity in our life if we see that our heart's off base? Is that the right thing to do? This has actually been a debate that's been talked about in the last several decades. I've had these conversations. It's like, do I do what's right if my heart's not there? Or do I stop doing what's right and get my heart there and then do what's right? We could poll the audience. Be interesting to see what we might get. You know, it's no, you do what's right even if your heart's not there, and then your heart will come around. Some of you would say that. Some of you would say, no, you don't do that. That doesn't work. You stop doing all that stuff because it's not doing you any good. You get your heart right, and then when your heart's right, then you'll do the right actions. And some of you would be like, no, that's a nice idea, but that's not how it works. You gotta work your heart into the right place. No, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying. You just go in a circle. So what do we do? You know, is there a right answer? Can you and I have godly actions and lose our heart to God? Is that possible? Can we come to church and miss God? Can we read and pray and miss God? Can we serve and give our money and share our faith and miss God? Is that possible? And we know it is. Because it happened in God's day. It's in the Bible. This isn't a new phenomenon. That can happen. Now, it's certainly not our goal, is it? It's not what we're shooting for. So what do we do if we find ourselves in the dilemma of either, you know, you and I, we can fall off either side of this. I've talked to some people that are like, you know what? I love God. God is so important to me. I'll do, you know, God and I are so tight. I'm like, okay. And we'll study the Bible. And we'll look at some things in the Bible about things they should be doing and they're not doing it?
Right.
I'm like, what do you think about that? Well, it's not about what you do. It's about how you feel. And they're all feelings oriented, but they don't have the actions.
Right.
And that's not the target.
Right.
But we also know you can go to church and you can be regular church attender and have no connection to God. That's not the target either. Look at this next verse here. Matthew 23:23. Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, churchgoers." That's who these guys are. Woe to you, you church-going, Bible-reading, praying in the public kind of guys. You're hypocrites. Why are they hypocrites? Because you give, you know, you give 10%, and you're zealous about your 10%. You give 10% of your money. You give 10% of your spices. I mean, you've got actions. You've got a resume. But what you don't have, what's the more important matters of the law. You don't have justice. You don't have mercy. You don't have faithfulness. In other words, your heart's not in the right place. You got the actions. You don't have the heart. What should you do? Well, you should do both. Jesus has the answer that the little girl has Jesus' answer. Why not both? You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. In other words, do both.
Yep.
Don't stop giving. Don't stop being zealous about giving. Don't stop your actions that are godly. Don't stop those. Just add to it the heart.
Yep.
Have both. And isn't that what God wants for us?
Yeah.
We want to be a people that have both. I want to be a man of God that has both. I don't want to have only one of those. Sometimes we all end up there, but that is when we do, we got to snap out of it and say, okay, I don't know what happened to me. I don't know where I've been. I need to snap out of it and not choose one or the other. Let me go after both. Let me keep doing the religious activities, the spiritual activities I've been doing, and let me get my heart where it needs to be. Or if my heart's there and I'm not doing the actions, well then let me get the actions going. Let me not just claim to be a Christian and have a connection with God and not do the things He says. Let me do both. Right? I think that is a key takeaway from this account here in Mark chapter 11. We see the same concept later in the book of James. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you or I claim to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save you or I? Suppose we see a brother or sister without clothes or daily food. In other words, we see a brother or sister in need. And we say to them, hey, see, you got a need there. Have a good day. But we do nothing to help them in their need. What good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Some will say, you have faith and I have deeds. In other words, one or the other. Show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith by my deeds. What's the point of this? Why not both?
Yep.
Don't just have faith and no deeds. What good is that? God inspires here. But don't have deeds without faith either.
Right.
We got just as God is not one-dimensional, we as people of God can't be one-dimensional.
Right.
We want to be both. We want to be engaged in both faith and deeds. We want to have both godly actions and heart. Go to the next slide there. You know, we should come to church. I hope we come to church till Jesus comes back.
Amen.
I hope we come on Sunday. I hope we come on Wednesday. I hope we make it a priority. I think that's what God wants. I think we should give every week. Why? Because we love God. And we can give back. We should share the good news. Why? Because God told us to. It's an action. He said, go make disciples. We should do it. And We should do it because where our heart is we love God and we love others. And because we have that heart, we do those things. Right? This should be our target. And I think it is our target. You know, we've been talking about all of last year and this year that we want to love God, and we want to love others, and we want to share the good news. What is that? That's a mix of faith and deeds.
Yep.
A heart for God and doing the right things. Yep. You know, practically, I think some of the things that we can do to help us, the next slide there, we can ask ourselves why.
Yep.
You know, how can we have both? Well, I think one thing we can do, we can ask ourselves why. Why'd you come to church today? I mean, I could pull the audience, and I think I'd get good answers. You know, but let's not just come, let's know why.
Yep.
Why'd you come? If you're going to give contribution, why are you going to give it? Let's know why. If you're going to take communion later, why are you going to take it? Let's know why. Let's engage our heart. Let's not just have actions, let's know why. Let's ask ourselves why. If you're going to read your Bible, why? Why are you going to do that? If you're going to pray, why? You know, we're like little two-year-olds. Just get a little two-year-old and put it on your shoulder. Why? 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 Okay, stop asking me why. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad practice to ask ourselves why, because it engages our heart and our mind, and so we're not just doing without the connection. Let's ask and let's act. What's it look like to walk like Jesus in 2018?
Yep.
Well, whatever that is, let's do it. You know? It's not that complicated. I think Satan wants to try to make it complicated. It's not that complicated. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, let's go do that. Let's act. Let's not just claim to be like Christ and do nothing.
Right.
Let's claim to be like Christ and do what Christ would do.
Yeah.
So let's do both. I don't remember how to say that in Spanish. How's that going in Spanish? Por que dos or whatever it was. I forget. I probably butchered that. Go to the next slide. Let's do both. You know, God is lion and lamb. God is not one-dimensional, and let's not be one-dimensional as we follow him. You know, let's have heart and actions. Let's engage both. Let's be stirred by the fact that God is not one-dimensional, and it's so good for us that God has so many facets, that he comes to our need, that he protects us. He's ferocious in his protection of you, because he loves you so dearly. And he's also so, so welcoming when we are completely at our worst.
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to a song here before Ed Johnson comes up and says a prayer and shares a thought before communion. The song's called Lion and the Lamb. Kind of appropriate. So let's just think about the words and think about who God is and think about really making sure that we're engaged heart and actions.